Welcome to Career Tools. Today's show, how to answer questions about career history, part two. Today, we conclude our conversation about our recommendations for answering questions about your career history, particularly when you think that career history may not be so good. Here we go.
Okay, so we're going to decide on an answer. We're going to practice. What is the ideal answer? Do I need to go into detail about this painful part of my career history?
No, that's a great, I never thought of it. Right. It's not detail. Now, I think many people listening would say saying I'm fired is detail, right? But no, we don't want to know the circumstances that led up to you being fired with exchanges of emails and everything else. No, the ideal answer is short. Right? No more than a 1 minute diversion off of your goal of selling them on your positives. We don't want to turn this issue into a big deal. Shorter answers brook less questions, right? And frankly, of course, they're easy to remember.
It seems so counterintuitive though, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah, it does. It's like, hey, here's my weakness. Of course, if you're Napoleon, it's what's funny about it is if you're really, really, really well prepared, the way Sun Tzu or Napoleon would say, the enemy knows your weaknesses, but it doesn't matter because you're prosecuting on your strengths and you can win with weakness. Most military theoreticians, historians, academicians know that the reason, every single time Napoleon won a battle that wasn't a complete rout, although there were a lot of those, his weakest point was in danger of crumbling, but it didn't matter because he had massed at the point of attack. He had massed when it was most important. You don't put all of your troops at your one point of defense because that makes everything else weak and you can't win simply by defending, right? You can't. So let's do some examples, right? I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah, okay.
So let me
give me
a little. So they ask, what happened here? Well, I was fired. I made a mistake. The company didn't feel it could live with, and that was the necessary conclusion for them to fire me. I've learned a lot from the situation. I'm confident it won't happen again. Now, we start with that one because people are going, you're kidding me. You say that? Yes, folks, you say that, right? If somebody asked me in an interview, hey, how'd you start a consulting firm? I'd say, I was fired. I worked for a recruiting firm for several years, did a great job, and walked in one day, was fired. I'm still to this day, I have not been told what the reason was, okay? The second one. I left by mutual agreement. My boss and I didn't agree on the management of the department. We decided it was better if I left. I'm confident it was the right decision because I could not have continued supporting what he wanted to do. And yet he's the boss. And I'm looking forward to making a positive contribution in a new environment. Okay. Another one. Unfortunately, I had health issues. I decided to leave the company in order to concentrate on regaining my health, which I'm happy to say I have. There are no openings in my old company, frustratingly so, but that's the case. And I'm looking for a new company where I can be as happy contributing as I was there. Okay. Another one. I left XYZ company 6 months ago and thought that ABC would provide the career advancement I was looking for. Unfortunately for me, that wasn't the case. And I regret the decision. I learned a lot. I'm eager to find a company where the contribution I can make will be a better fit. Right. And all of these start with a blunt admission, right?
Yeah. Another thing that seems pretty consistent to me as well is that there wasn't any blame. You didn't assign blame in any of those cases.
Yeah. Look, there's none of this, my manager was an idiot or we disagreed and it's later proven that I was right. Right. The company was badly run. They made me do something illegal. This is not a plea for sympathy, folks. It's a factual stating of what happened. And by the way, if the factual stating of what happened is your boss was a jerk, well, first of all, that's not factual. And second of all, don't state that. If there's anyone to blame other than you, you don't say that, even if it's factual. Okay? Whatever your feelings, the feelings about other people involved stay outside of the interview room. And this is one of the biggest mistakes that candidates make. And you're entitled to feel the way you feel. We would love to hear the story over a beer someday. And don't talk about it in an interview.
What's the problem with that? I mean, if it's factual, why is that a bad thing to talk about it?
Yeah. You know what's funny about this? People don't get this. Blaming somebody else gives the impression that you are not in control of your own life, your own professional life. it makes the interviewers feel uncomfortable, believe it or not. I mean, they talk about this. Mm. If you'll blame your ex-manager, you're going to blame other people for mistakes you made. And what it says is, I'm really not the person who is making things happen in my career or in my job. And it makes recruiters feel like you're not on top of what it is you're doing. They don't mind somebody on top of something that makes a big mistake, and they know they made a big mistake, and it causes them to get fired. They don't like someone making a big mistake and then telling us all the reasons why somebody else was involved, because it means you won't have learned from it. It means you will go around blaming other people, which leads to a sense of helplessness at some level, lack of control about your life.
Yeah, and I wonder if it turns it into a bigger issue than it really is as well, kind of opens up a whole can of worms around the issue.
Yeah, look, we want this to be a single minus point in the interview. If it turns into a big deal, you know, we're trying to avoid that, right? We don't want a whole big can of worms in the recruiter's mind. The other thing is, the great thing about the thing I like about this answer is it addresses the future, right? And this is emotionally powerful. Nah, it's emotionally necessary for the recruiter. Your answer says sort of, I'm moving on, or there is a moving on sense to all these answers, right? Yes, it's happened. It's over. I'm ready for the future. And this encourages the recruiter to do so, the interviewer to do so too. This is subtle, but you've got to include that.
Yeah, that's interesting. It kind of, again, it makes the point small. Conversations about the future versus this past.
You know what it is? You and I have been talking lately about charts and stuff from the podcast, right? And we've been talking about bars and columns and lines and all that kind of stuff, right? It's like saying, this is not a line. It's not a dip. It's a point, right?
Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah. It's not a trend.
Yeah. It's not a trend. It's a point. It's a moment. And the more it's a point and the more it's a moment, the less it's a trend that says, and I'm going to continue on that trend in the future. I mean, look at every company's earnings chart, their turnover chart, their revenue chart. They don't march at 2% increase every year, right? They drop. Periodically, they drop. We think we're going to have a good product, and it turns out, that product lost money, didn't contribute as much revenue, so we have a lower earnings mark this quarter. It happens.
Yeah, something else about your answers that you gave impressed me as well, and it's kind of this matter-of-fact delivery. I suspect that the way you deliver it is as important as the words you use, because folks have a lot of emotion around this. And if they haven't got over that emotionally, if they haven't got over the incident itself, within their own minds, that comes through in their answers. And so build a bridge, get over it, and you got to speak to this kind of matter-of-factly, I think.
Yeah. And by the way, the matter-of-fact can only happen with practice, right? You can't have the idea in your mind and then deliver it for the first time in front of the recruiter and sound matter of fact, right? It has to be practiced and then delivered without effort. That's the matter of fact part. But look, you're right. The way we deliver it is as important. And it's a negative circumstance. We want to make it sound like it's something we're dealing with and that it's not a big deal. Well, if you're not matter of fact about it, then you're dealing with it in a negative way. You're emotional about it. And it is a big deal. And, it's funny, but as Wendy says, you know what they say about dogs? If you show they're afraid, they'll go for you. And as Wendy says, as somebody who's been an interviewer for a long time, it's the exact same with interviewers. If they get the sense there's a concern there, they'll dig. Remember my example about Harrison Ford in Clear and Present Danger, right? The fact that he teaches at the Naval Academy, we're not going to hold it against him, right? The reporter asks him, the president says, no, he's a good friend. He's a good friend. Oh, he's a close friend. Yeah. He's a close friend. Oh, he's the closest friend. And there's no evidence of a weakness. And so the recruiter just says, well, okay, apparently that's not a weakness. It's not a danger. It's all your emotional response to it. We want to sound unashamed, unburdened, almost unbothered. That is the emotionally mature approach to weaknesses and failures, right? The person who's always talking about a previous failure is not emotionally past it. And as I said before, the only way you can have positive emotion, the only way you can be matter of fact about this is to practice. So look, folks, when you get the question, smile. Now, we're not talking about tilting your head and smiling as if to say, okay, Mr. Recruiter, here's your question. I'm nodding my head as if I'm the Queen of England and I have to tolerate stupid questions from silly people. But look, smile. Welcome the question in your mind, okay? It's an opportunity to answer the question. And because you know how to do it now, you're going to be able to get it off the table. If you don't know how to answer it and you grimace when you answer it and they feel that weakness and they take 5 minutes, then you're justified in being concerned. And that tends to be a self-licking ice cream cone, right? Whereas if you smile, you deliver it briefly and you think, I'm delivering this briefly and I'm going to be done with it. You get to move on to your next positive, which is what the point of interviewing, right? Is selling positive. If it's early in the interview, it's going to be over in a minute. And look, if it's late in the interview and you've already impressed the interviewer, frankly, as Wendy says, they're unlikely to be interviewing or they're unlikely to be listening. You know, frankly, it's part of interviewer psychology that we ought to do casts on. By the time the interviewer gets to the end of the interview, when they've already decided that they like you, they're actually only listening for items which confirm their impression of you. You'll be surprised how often and how quickly this issue can be brushed aside if it happens late in the interview. And if it happens late and you feel like the interview has been going well and you're brief about it, it's not an issue. And all that angst you had building up about it, you'll realize the first time you do this right and it becomes a non-issue, you'll see, oh my gosh, all that time. And now I know Mark and Mike and Wendy were right. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. No, what? Okay, so I've practiced my answer. What if I've gone into 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 interviews, I give my short answer, and there's always follow-up questions about my answer. It's so short that there's additional material that folks have asked for me. Seems like my short answer isn't getting me where I want to be.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, this is what Wendy and I call strategic interviewing. We recommend preparing for each interview, but we never really say it. But the fact is, we assume that if you're going to have 6 interviews in the course of 3 or 4 weeks, you're going to get better each time because you're going to pay attention to the trends in the interviews and what they focus on, right? Assuming the jobs are relatively similar. Right. So if you're always asked for the same information following your delivery, you add that into your core short matter of fact, tell the truth, talk about the future and move on answer. Let's do this way. The first answer we gave, right? I was fired. I made a big mistake. Company didn't feel it could live with. And that was a necessary conclusion. I understand. I've learned a lot from the situation. I'm confident it'll never happen again. Now, look. It may be that every person or almost every person you deliver that answer to subsequently asks, well, what was the mistake? Now, look, folks, before we go any further, it's unlikely to do so because the recruiter wants to understand how you're good or not, but they don't want to be in your pain. They don't. Okay. But in this case, what you do is you'd add in the additional information. You'd say the next time you went to an interview, if that's been happening every time or every other time or something like that, you'd say, hey, I was fired. I made a mistake in accounting, which caused the company to have to restate its earnings. The board didn't feel it could live with the mistake and firing was the necessary conclusion. I've learned a lot from the situation. I'm confident it won't happen again.
And just to be clear, you'd suggest that you only make that modification, add the additional detail after you have some experience. It suggests that people want it consistently.
Yeah. And this is where people make the mistake. They assume that that's what it's about. What did you do? Right? No, we're giving you an answer that says I was fired and that's the big thing, or I was laid off. That's the big thing. If they want more, they'll ask. Now, if you don't answer it this way, you're going to spend a lot of time talking about the details of who said what, who shot John and so on. But if you deliver it this way, and then they do ask for a little bit more, but they don't delve any further, then you're fine. And you answer, you give a little bit more information, and they say, well, okay, that happens. And there's not a seasoned recruiter in the world. Now, look, folks, if there's a junior recruiter, a junior interviewer, or a junior manager, frankly, what they're trying to do is avoid a false positive, right? They don't want to say yes to somebody they're interviewing that everybody else who interviews you says no to. So junior interviewers are a little bit more unpredictable, but there's not a senior, accomplished, professional recruiter, interviewer, or manager who doesn't know senior people this has happened to. And when you give an answer like this, they will say, literally in their head, there'll be a ding, and they'll go, wow, that's the best answer I've ever heard to a difficult career moment. They'll dismiss the negative and say, what a great communicator, and you went from having one negative to no negative and one positive in the course of 1 minute.
Yeah. Let's go back to mental state a little bit, because I think this is probably one of the most counterintuitive recommendations we've ever given. And for example, you've just been fired, you got laid off, It's all you can think about. It's all you're talking about with your spouse.
Yeah.
Now you're looking for a new job. It's a tough environment. You're worried about your resume, interviewing, telling people about the experience, all that stuff. And we're essentially telling people to get over it and just stop worrying about it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, really. We are. And we come from this with good history. It has happened to me. And luckily for me, I'm not a genius. I luckily got fired by someone who many, many people didn't respect. And I immediately knew when I was fired for stuff I didn't understand, but I immediately knew that it wasn't appropriate or professional the way they were handling it. Now they might, obviously they'll disagree and they'll defend themselves vigorously. But when that happened, I realized I could tell people I was fired because I didn't respect the rationale or the people who were doing it. So in that sense, talking about it, I wasn't worried about it very quickly. And then what I did that cemented that was I started talking about it. And then I didn't have to worry about what other people would think because I told them. And after like telling five people, they were like, well, okay. And they were stunned that I was so confident enough to do it. Look, any circumstance you come up against in your career is simply what happened to you. It is a thing of the past, right? Where you are is where you're supposed to be in the world, if you believe in karma, right? You can't change where you are. You've been fired, okay? It doesn't matter how many million times you go over it in your head, what's done is done. There's no changing it. Now, the question is, how are you going to deal with it, right? Folks, you're not the first person that something bad has happened to. You're not alone. Again, Mark and Wendy, me and Wendy have both been fired. And when Wendy got fired, the reason Wendy works for us is when Wendy got fired, and this was years ago on the forums, I sent a note to her and said, you know, you seem like a very sharp person. Can't believe this has happened. Perhaps I can spend 15 minutes with you. And that was the start of our friendship, which led to her coming to work for us full time. Okay. You know, Wendy had a significant illness, which affected her career. Mike made a bad choice. CEOs are fired. We know people who have been in prison, who've been addicted, terrible marriages, children who went off the rails, terrible mistakes professionally, I mean, egregious mistakes, ethical mistakes, and who have gone on to have successful careers. It can be overcome. But in order to get an interviewer to believe that, you have to believe it yourself. And, you know, Wendy and I talked about this. Start by telling your friends what happened. Tell people who are your biggest supporters. Oh, yeah, we know. You don't want to. But tell them. You know, if you're not going to do it for you, do it for us. If you're listening to us, you believe we have some credibility. And by the way, I don't ask this very often, but if you've had this happen to you, if you've dealt with a significant weakness in your career, a mistake or whatever, or a sidestepping that you feel that a recruiter would think is negative. Look, if you go to take care of your ailing mom, that's not a weakness. But we put that in this cast because people worry that their year off is going to hurt them. Choosing to take care of a parent, a sick parent or relative is, God bless you, we want to kiss your feet. And you still worry about it affecting your career. But if that's happened to you, write and tell us your story. Let us know what happened to you. And tell us how you handle it after the fact. And we suspect many of you will tell us, when I finally got past it and when I said, well, I got fired, people are like, well, it's okay. I love you anyway. Because again, the greatest thing in the world is love, not fear. You know, tell people. We're always surprised how supportive and how non-judgmental and how sympathetic people can be. A friend of Wendy's volunteered at his church and was responsible for counting the collection. One day, it was discovered that he had been taking money from the collection to pay for outings for his kids, which he couldn't afford from his salary. I mean, this is a terrible thing. He was stealing. He was stealing from a collection plate. He was ashamed. He dreaded going back to church. But he really wanted to apologize publicly and explain it, and he did. The church decided not to press charges, allowed him to pay back the money over time. Yeah, I know, you don't work for a church, but the story still works and you know it. And the people in the church, they were horrified that he could have been struggling. They were horrified that he could have been struggling all that time and not have asked for help. There was an outpouring of sympathy and people asking, what can we do for you now? You know, Wendy says, that's just churchy people, right? And employers feel differently. But every one of those people in that church, had a job, and they're at the workplace other times in the week. Tell your friends, okay? Stop worrying. And when you tell your friends and you drop the bomb in front of them and they say, oh, it's okay. Wow. They must have been jerks. They don't know how good you are. What an idiot they must be. Well, we understand. And then you go, oh, as I've said before, getting fired is just like in Indiana Jones in the first movie in Raiders of the Lost Ark. He's in a bar in Kathmandu or Nepal. A gun goes off. The bad guy gets the drop on Indiana Jones. A gun goes off. And he looks down at his chest and feels around in his chest saying, where's the gunshot wound in my chest that's going to kill me? And he looks up and his girlfriend, played by Karen Allen, has shot the bad guy and killed him. And that's the gun that when Indy thought was going to kill him. And he looks down and he realizes, hey, I'm okay. That's what getting fired is like. It's like, whoa, oh, I'm not my job. And my family still loves me and I'm still competent. I'm still capable and I'm going to be okay. Move on from the mistake. Convince an employer that the circumstance doesn't matter by telling the truth, being brief, and talking about the future. Decide on your answer and practice until you believe you can move on. It's that simple. And it's fundamentally counterintuitive to what everybody does. And we're right. And we encourage you to take the high road, the positive road, rather than the defensive political spin road. Quick wrap up. So tell the truth, folks. The truth is not your enemy. An answer, coming up with an answer, quote unquote, is where your enemy lies. Decide on that answer and practice it, practice it, practice it until it's effortless. But you won't sound rehearsed, we promise. Be honest. Don't shade things. Be brief. Don't blame anybody else. Deliver it very matter-of-factly, which you can only do by practicing. Add in the necessary follow-up information if you get a follow-up question every single time. And then breathe in, breathe out, move on. Let it go. Stop worrying about it. There you have it.
All right, man. Thanks.
Thanks, partner.
All right. We'll see you later.
Thanks, everyone. That's it. And we'll see you all again next week. So long.